The House will be in order. Representative Nordman requests a quorum call. Clerk will open machine. Receive your vote.
Representative Wheeler, present. Representative McConkey, present. Representative Seek, present. Representative Mitchell, present. Representative Holt, present. Representative Thompson, present. Representative Kaufman, present. Representative Buslow, present. Representative Losi, present. And Representative Sorensen, present. Representative Jacoby, present. And Representative Hall, present. Representative Bennett, present. Representative Maxwell, present. And Representative Hansen, present. Representative Hine, present. Representative G. Moore, present. Representative Bergen, present. Representative Jacobson, present. Representative Sexton, present. Representative Best, present. Representative Poston, present. Representative Jones, present.
Representative Nordman, a quorum is present. Quickly, we'll do introduction of bills.
House Bill 2534 by Eisenhardt, a bill for an act providing for the state assessment for clean water imposed on agricultural commodities, including procedures for referendums to establish, continue, or terminate the state assessment, the transfer of monies to the Department of Agriculture and Land Stewardships, state sales and use, and the Natural Resources and Outdoor Recreation Trust Fund, the establishment of the commission and fund, and the appropriation of monies.
First reading of the bill is now recommitted amendment referred to the Committee on Agriculture.
House File 2535 by Eisenhardt, a bill for an act establishing a solar electricity generation replacement tax, corporate tax credit for electricity generated on certain properties and including applicability provisions.
First reading of the bill is now recommitted amendment referred to the Committee on Commerce. The House will be in order. The Chair recognizes the gentleman from Harrison, Representative Winchittle.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Good evening, Mr. Speaker. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen of the House. Mr. Speaker, at this time, please recognize Representative Hine for opening remarks on House File 2317.
The Chair recognizes the gentleman from Jones, Representative Hine, for House File 2317, Senate Amendment H8090.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Because of the decisions that have been made in this chamber, because of leadership from our governor, our economy in Iowa is strong. So strong that we have an historic opportunity in front of us. With $1 billion surplus and another $1 billion in the taxpayer relief fund, and our rainy day funds and cash reserves are full, we can deliver tonight the largest tax cut in Iowa history while continuing to fund Iowans' priorities. The amendment, Division 1 through Division 6, are basically the same as what we passed out of this House last Wednesday evening or Wednesday afternoon, with the exception of one thing. The 4% flat rate has been lowered to 3.9 flat rate. Then as we move forward, Division 7, research activities credits, tax credit, moves refundability from 100% to 50% over 5 years, a 10% reduction per year. Supplies that are claimed have been reduced from 100 to zero over 5 years. Supplemental research activities credit refundability has been moved down 5% over 5 years to 75%. Division 8, the redevelopment tax credit, brownfield, grayfield sites refundability has been moved from 100% to 50% over 5 years. In Dow, Iowa tax credit, the cap has been reduced from $300,000 to $100,000 per taxpayer. The third-party development tax credit reduces refundability from over 5 years down to 75%. The historic preservation tax credit reduces corporate refundability 5% per year over 5 years down to 75%. Division 9, corporate tax rates, and this is the big one, $700 million triggers the trigger is the trigger, and anything over the $700 million buys down the top rate. Division 10 sets the floor at 5.5, so after a few years, triggering the $700 million, we buy it down. When we get down to 5.5, that's the end, and that's a flat rate. Division 11 strikes the taxpayer expenditure committee and instead requires departments to file reports. And the Division 12, in the years that where the revenue is less than 3.5%, we use the taxpayer relief fund to raise that revenue level back up, and we move that from the fund into the general fund. So with those comments, Mr. Speaker, those are my opening comments on the amendment.
Is there discussion? The chair recognizes the lady from Lynn, Representative Donahue.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, ladies and gentlemen of the House. Who will benefit and how? 450,000 Iowans will not receive one penny, according to the Department of Revenue, with this tax cut. 557,000 of the lowest income Iowans will see less than 25 cents more each week in their paycheck. Almost 100,000 middle income Iowans will receive an extra $11.40 a week. Close to 40,000 will get about $27,000 a week. Then there are 3,200 millionaires who will see almost $1,300 more per week. With this tax cut, the beginning teacher making $32,000 will be getting a 25 cent extra a week. This tax break isn't going to make up for this year's low state funding, let alone the previous year's low funding. For teachers, it's another year of no cost of living increases in paychecks, and with a huge windfall of $1 a month for those lowest paid teachers with this tax cut. This tax break will cost the state about $1.7 billion in revenue, which means less money for schools, bridges, parks, natural resources, mental health care, caregivers for Iowans with disabilities, and so on. This tax bill is terrible not only for individuals in the lower tax brackets, but it's going to be devastating to our cities and towns. This is going to put huge limitations on what they can do in the future for growth and improvement. These cuts will put the burden on property tax. This is not a tax break for Iowans, for our middle class working Iowans. This is a tax break for the rich, and I urge my caucus to say no.
Chair recognizes the lady from Polk, Representative Anderson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen of the House. Government is how we do things together that we can't do alone. It's how we do city planning, roads, we do criminal investigation, firefighting, etc. And taxes are how we pay for that common good. I can't believe that we are lowering taxes for people earning $75,000 and up, including those who make $1 million or more, rather than cutting the taxes first for working people struggling to pay rent, utilities, clothe their children, keep their car going, just make ends meet. Many work full-time, sometimes two full-time jobs, and earn less than $30,000. These people won't get a benefit until at least 2026. They have to wait 4 years for their tax break. We have a $1.2 billion surplus, but we aren't inspecting our nursing homes, protecting children and elders. We aren't providing a living wage for home health care workers or child care workers, or investing adequately in our public schools. While we aren't investing in our mental health system at the same time that we're asking our mental health regions to do more and more and more. Corrections is short 258 positions. And two people were killed in Anamosa last year. We disrespect and underpay teachers, social workers, and other public servants. Yet we are cutting corporate taxes, but not the restaurant on the corner or the local barber. What are we doing? Seriously, what are we doing for the 30% of Iowans who will get no benefit from this tax cut? That's 450,000 families. They won't get a benefit for at least 4 years, and maybe never. I will be a no on this bill.
Chair recognizes the lady from Lynn, Representative Bennett.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Where is our break? That is a message from the people we see every day who make our lives better, whether the people in this chamber appreciate them and recognize them or not. Where is our break? From our restaurant servers, our bartenders, the people who serve us our coffee, our hairstylists, our barbers, where is our break? From the person brave enough to start a new restaurant or the person learning a new trade, from the people who help us find what we need at the grocery store, and from the people who fix our computers, our printers, our websites, the people like the people I work with at home. Where is our break? That's what we all want to know. And I'm going to tell you right now, it's nowhere in this bill.
Chair recognizes the lady from Polk, Representative Woldson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Good evening, everyone here in the House. I want to first start out reminding everyone of a comment that I think it was Representative Hall made maybe 2 or 3 weeks ago when we were first doing the tax cut bill. And we were all boasting about how great our ending balances were and our reserves were. I want to remind everyone that we are in good fiscal shape to a large extent because of what Democrats in Congress have passed to us via federal funds and have put in our coffers to help us look in the shape that we are in. I feel like this bill is literally uprooting and sweeping away our kids' futures. And we are soon going to be left with nothing here to brag about. We are undercutting our education system and are soon going to not have the funds available to continue to have education for our kids. Our healthcare system is going to start hurting pretty badly. We've already heard comments made about we aren't inspecting nursing homes. We have lots of vulnerable Iowans out there that need our help, and we're not providing the help they need. And we just recently read about the desperate shape that our waterways here in Iowa are in. I don't know who's going to, in the end, want to come to Iowa as we continue to erode our ability to pay for services that are so desperately needed. I find this just unconscionable that we think this is the way to bring Iowa to a better future, and I will be a strong no.
Chair recognizes the lady from Dubuque, Representative James.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Friends and neighbors of the House, the work that we get to do in this role is deeply meaningful work. We get to be invited into people's lives in very significant ways. They share with us their stories, some of them beautiful, all of them beautiful, some of them more painful than the others. Some of the realities that I hear from my constituents every single day are some realities that keep me awake at night. There is one particular story that keeps me awake at night, and it was out when I was first running for office. And I was knocking on doors, and a family poured out of a minivan and were carrying a bunch of sports equipment. They were clearly coming back from a soccer practice or some sort of a sports event. And the dad took one look at me as I'm, you know, walking up his sidewalk and up his driveway to say hello and introduce myself and tell him why I'm running for office. He took one look at me, and he looked so weary. And he said to me, "Are you a politician? Is this politics?" And he said, "I'm not interested. I don't have the energy." And I said very kindly, you know, I wanted to respect that boundary, so I gave him my card and I said, "Hey, listen, I just want you to know that I want to understand your concerns. And I also want you to know that if you ever think you need to set me straight, just call me. This is my cell phone number. Here's my cell phone number." And he said, he took a pause, and he said, "Well, let me set you straight right now." So he actually, that opened a window for us to engage in a very long, robust conversation. And at the end of the day, I asked him, I said, "What are your most significant concerns? Like, what is it that you are wrestling with?" And he said, "You know," he said, "Lindsay, it's financial security." And I said, "Well, tell me, what does financial security look like for you?" And he said this: "Financial security for me looks like being able to afford Happy Joe's Pizza twice a year for my kids' birthday parties. Being able to afford Happy Joe's Pizza twice a year for his kids' birthday party. This plan doesn't even give him another slice. I have constituents in my district that are struggling to pay for life-saving medication like insulin. I have single moms in my district who cannot afford to buy their child a pair of winter boots. I have families in manufactured housing communities in my district that are struggling to pay their rent every single day, one of which a single mom had to sell her car, her only transportation to work to be able to afford her rent and keep a roof over her kids' heads. These are the realities that my constituents are facing. These are the families, the working families in Iowa that desperately need tax relief and our attention and help. This plan does nothing to serve those families. With this plan, it will take the average Iowan a century to receive the same tax benefits that the ultra-rich will receive in a single year. Let me just say that one more time, loud and clear for this chamber. On this plan, it will take the average working everyday Iowan a century to receive the same tax benefits that the ultra-rich will receive in a single year. I urge this body to vote no on this reckless plan.
Chair recognizes the gentleman from Jones, Representative Bradley.
Good evening, Mr. Speaker, ladies and gentlemen of the House. As a second year freshman, I'm so proud to vote yes for this historic tax cut for all Iowans. Lastly, I just want to tell everybody, please, when you're driving home on this snowy evening, drive safe. Thank you.
Chair recognizes the gentleman from Woodbury, Representative Hall.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and good evening, ladies and gentlemen of the House. I always enjoy listening to my colleagues debate, and the points that they're making, and mine aren't going to stray too far from that. Some of the points that I felt really strongly about making were already made in the first round of this when it started in the House and before it went over to the Senate. But I do want to remind this body that the conversation about tax cuts and where our state dollars go and the removal of a large number of tax dollars from our revenue stream over a short period of years will impact the conversations that we're not able to have because of those decisions. I know that many of you also heard the same concerns expressed to me, and some of you I've discussed those concerns with in recent weeks. The workforce shortage, the need for investments in mental health care, the funding that has gone for so many years without, the program for children's mental health care that has gone without funding for so many years, the overdue investments in workforce training and small business assistance that would help our economy grow, affordable housing, all of these different things. These are valid, important investments that our state needs to be considering, and not Democrat, not Republican, not city dwellers, not rural communities, it's all of us. We're all in the thick of this. And I know that you and the majority are feeling proud of this accomplishment and the compromise that you've reached, and proud in part because of the degree of a tax cut that you are providing people. But when you sift through it, when you actually look at the numbers, it should give people pause. You talk about who's actually benefiting from this tax cut. Over 4 years while it's getting phased in, the average family doesn't get anything in the first two. The top income bracket in the first 2 years is the only one to see an income reduction. So for the first 2 years of a four-year program, $500 million goes to the top bracket while everybody just waits in line and doesn't see anything. And what happens when you actually do phase in over the full 4 years? There are 1.5 million tax filers in the state, and approximately one-third of them will not see any reduction to their taxes. So what got better in the compromise? Started here, went over to the Senate, got kicked back to us. Well, we were talking about families, at least for the initial conversation. Now it's come back to us from the Senate, and the compromise that you struck is to provide corporations tax relief. So not only are you front-loading the tax relief for the top earners, and you're giving them the first two bites of the apple and the biggest bite of the apple, but the compromise that you struck was to add corporations into the mix and give them a tax cut. Still, years 3 and 4, Maybe some middle-income families will start to see the relief. It'll be vastly less than the top earners. It'll be later than the top earners. And the compromise that you struck wasn't for them. It was to add corporations in the mix and give them tax relief. I just want to close by saying the reason we're debating this bill tonight seems to be putting it on an expedited timeline so that Governor Reynolds can talk about it in her response to the State of the Union next Tuesday. I hope, truly hope, that each of you keeps in mind and that perhaps Governor Reynolds will have the confidence to say that the reason that this tax cut is getting passed is because it uses $740 million of unexpected revenue that came into this state, and it is using federal dollars to help finance a state tax cut. The paper trail is there, the receipts are there. Last April, Governor Reynolds filed a lawsuit to make sure that she could use federal dollars to finance a state tax cut, and all you have to do is Google it. I hope that families and the challenges this state face in coming years, the priorities that we've already heard need to be addressed but are now being put on pause, I hope that they get better. And I hope that we all as a body are able to debate them with seriousness but without the dollars that we could have used to actually address them this year. Thank you.
Chair recognizes the gentleman from Pottawatomie, Representative Jacobson.
Good evening, Mr. Speaker. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen of the House. I have never been more proud in my career here than to stand here tonight. I have never been more proud of a governor of the state of Iowa, where I've lived for over 70 years. I have never been more proud than our august body across the hall, the Iowa Senate. I have never been prouder of our leadership in this chamber than I am tonight. This transformative legislation is the greatest act of social justice that we have done here in 6 years that I have been here. Representative Kurth had the best comment from the opposition side earlier today when she talked about the velocity of money. This is precisely why this tax cut is going to engineer, as Democrat President John F. Kennedy said, the rising tide that will lift all boats. Many Democrats have embraced exactly what we are doing here tonight. John F. Kennedy's tax cut in 63, and that carried over to 64 under Lyndon Johnson, revived the American economy in a way that not even Republican Dwight Eisenhower did. William Jefferson Clinton's capital gains tax cuts in the late 1990s balanced our budget twice, the only time in post-war era that that has happened. What happened when we did that? You know, I look at this scorecard tonight that the good folks at LSA tried to put together, and bless their hearts, They're reined in. They can't dynamically score this. They have to statically score this bill. And they say, well, this is going to cost this much revenues, and this is going to cost that much revenues. Balderdash. Arthur Laffer won a Nobel Prize showing how cutting taxes generates revenue. And for those naysayers, we have a capital gains tax cut here for our ag people, and a one-time, lifetime capital gains tax cut. You know what capital gains tax cuts do? Those infuse venture capital into the economy. In the 90s, before the William Jefferson Clinton capital gains tax cut, we only had $8 billion of venture capital floating around in the United States. After that single capital gains tax cut, the number tripled and then doubled again, up 400%. It was $32 billion by 1998, 4 years later. When you have venture capital streaming in, that means businesses, that means wholesalers, that means retail, that means manufacturing, that means jobs. Ronald Reagan said the best social program is a job. Well, you know what? When people expand their businesses, People get jobs. When people get jobs, they buy things. When people buy things, other stores need to bring in more merchandise and hire more people. And then those people get wages and buy things. That is the velocity of money. That is the multiplier effect. It creates jobs. And when people have these jobs, they buy things, so they pay sales tax. They file an individual or married joint filing income tax return. That generates income tax revenues. They buy real estate property. That purchases real estate revenues. All of these additional tax dollars are coming in because precisely of the economic theory posited correctly in a different venue earlier today by Representative Kurth, the velocity of money. Ladies and gentlemen, the scoring done by LSA is incorrect. We're not going to be losing a few million here and a few million there. We're going to be generating a multiplier effect of up to 300 to 400% higher revenues than the cuts that we are going to be making. You know, I live right next door to the great Nebraska Furniture Mart empire started by Rose Blumkin, a Jewish emigre from Russia, who came here with nothing. Started actually in Des Moines and then went to Omaha. And everybody wondered how she was so successful because she sold so cheaply. And it's easy. It's volume, volume, volume. The way the Kennedy and Clinton tax cuts worked, by reducing the capital gains rate, everybody now is willing to get into the game because they're not getting the haircut that literally pulls every hair out of the socket of their head. They don't need hair plugs like some of our politicians do.
Representative Jacoby, your point is well taken. Representative Jacobson, let's get back on track here.
It was leading right into my point, Mr. Speaker. Tonight, we are going to become the Samson of all of our states in the union. We are growing not just hair, but we're growing opportunity for every single Iowan. As John F. Kennedy said, a rising boat, a rising tide lifts all boats. And as President Clinton found out, by cutting taxes, it was a Democratic president that balanced two budgets since World War II. He did it by cutting taxes. This is an awesome bill. I've delayed going to my daughter's wedding, pre-wedding festivities to make sure I cast this vote tonight. I've never been prouder to be an Iowan, and this is going to lift the poor like no other bill we have ever done here in the history of the state of Iowa. Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I yield the balance of my time.
The chair recognizes the gentleman from Black Hawk. The House will be in order. Chair recognizes the gentleman from Black Hawk, Representative Smith.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, and please excuse my lack of clapping. I guess I didn't find some of that hyperbole to be amusing, Representative Jacobson. First and foremost, we don't diminish the work of legislative staff. We're better than that. LSA is doing all they can to get us most accurate information, so let's not diminish their work, sir. But secondly, I would argue that our greatest act of social justice in this chamber is one that saved lives, one that we all unanimously could vote on. I think the voting board will show this is not unanimous. It will show that we don't all agree that this is the greatest act of social justice in the past 6 years. Excuse that I'm not amused by the jest, but I take that seriously, and I think we all should. That's all I got for the body. Thank you.
Chair recognizes the gentleman from Johnson, Representative Jacoby.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, ladies and gentlemen of the House. Whose pockets are you lining? Whose pockets are you lining? Return to the money back to the pockets of the taxpayers. Whose pockets are you lining? 30.2% of Iowans do not benefit from this bill. That's almost a half a million working class Iowans will have zero benefit from this bill. And I've said it once, I've said it a million times. The problem with politics sometimes gets too damn political. And that's exactly why we're doing the bill tonight. So it can be prepared for a speech instead of us doing our due diligence. Would Representative Hine yield to a few questions?
Will the gentleman yield? You're in order.
Thank you, Representative. I look at, and let me take a look at some of the sections that are newer to us that the Senate added, the corporate income tax. What's the current corporate income tax in Iowa? What's the current rate?
Right over between 9.8, I believe.
There you go, yep, 9.8, and then—
That's the top rate.
Top rate, and then it varies from 5.5 to 9.8. So if I'm looking at this correctly, a small business who is right now struggling but paying in at 5.5 will not benefit from this bill. Is that correct, or am I reading it wrong?
That would be correct.
Okay, so you just heard the floor manager admit that this bill will not help many small businesses in Iowa who are already at the 5.5 rate. Is there anything in this bill, as we discussed in Ways and Means, and also on the floor the last round, that helps the working class retired person? I'm looking specifically at those wages for people that have to work to enjoy their retirement. I don't see anything in here narrowed down to those working retired.
Well, if they're working, they would be at the flat rate of 4%. Their retirement benefits would be tax-free.
Well, it's, for many working retired, the only income they have is a nominal Social Security check. So we're not helping that group either. When is the next revenue estimating conference?
What was that?
When is the next revenue estimating conference?
I believe middle of March. I don't know the exact date.
Okay, thank you, Representative. My point is simply this. We have a revenue estimating conference coming up in a matter of weeks. While we are all COVID tired, there's still deaths at record rates. We are still seeing an economy that's challenged. We don't know what the outlook is for sure. In the last 24 hours, an invasion. An invasion by Russia into the Ukraine. We don't know the future of our utilities and the future of oil. But I do know this. It's great to hear, not a lecture, but comments on capital gains. But 500,000 Iowans don't know or enjoy capital gains. 500,000 working Iowans that you see every day. Every day you see them. When you go to a grocery store, when you go to a hairstylist, you see those people every day. Those everyday working people get nothing from this bill. Not a cent. And if this bill is going to work so well, I'm looking at the tax bills over the last 8 years, and oh, holy, holy, we are in the biggest workforce crisis in the history of Iowa. And this bill does something else. It takes away the Tax Expenditure Review Committee. What are you afraid of? I'm sorry, Mr. Speaker, and I know the talking points get fancy and the social media has already gone out, but we truly have to ask, whose pockets are we lining? Because two-thirds of this $1.8 billion goes to people that are making more than $1 million. Whose pockets are you lining?
Seeing no further discussion, the chair recognizes the gentleman from Jones, Representative Hine, for closing remarks on Amendment H8090.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker, ladies and gentlemen of the House. A couple of points I'd like to make is, first one, this represents a tax cut for every Iowan. Every single Iowan will have more money in their pockets thanks to this tax cut today. The bill eliminates taxes for retirement income for Iowans, so more Iowans will be able to stay as Iowans rather than become Illinoisans or Floridians because of this bill. The House Republicans have wanted reforms on corporate tax credit systems for years. In the past, we have not been able to garner the support. Now, here we are. We've got this important piece of policy included in the final agreement, and it represents a huge step in the right direction for our state. And finally, for those reforms to the corporate tax credits, we can begin to lower our corporate tax rate, which is currently one of the highest in the country. And for all those tonight who are fear-mongering by saying this is going to result in an inability to fund our budget, well, those folks need to reread the bill. The sustainability is baked right in. The corporate rate will only lower if we hit the revenue trigger of $700 million. In closing, we said at the start of this session that we were going to deliver tax relief for Iowans. We said that the tax plan would cut Iowans for all Iowans. We said that if we were going to lower corporate rates, we were also going to reform corporate tax credits. We said that we were going to eliminate taxes on retirement income so that more folks can continue to call Iowa home after they retire. Well, folks, promises made, promises kept. Mr. Speaker, for all Iowans, but more importantly for the constituents of Jones County, Jackson County, and Delaware counties, who sent me here to represent them, I move this historic bill, House File 2317.
Representative from Jones moves Amendment H8090. All those in favor shall vote aye.
Aye.
All those opposed vote no.
No.
The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it, and the amendment is adopted. We are now on final passage of House File 2317. The gentleman from Jones has moved House File 2317 be read for its last time and placed on its passage. Are there objections? Hearing none, the clerk will read.
House File 2317, a bill for an act relating to the state revenue and finance by modifying individual income tax rate exemptions and credits, corporate income tax rates and credits, credits against the franchise tax and the insurance premium tax and the monies and credits tax and the tax exemption committee, making contingent transfers from the taxpayers relief fund and including effective date and applicable revisions be enacted by a General Assembly of the State of Iowa.
The question now is, shall the bill pass? All those in favor of its passage vote aye. All those opposed vote no. The clerk will machine receive your vote. Eisenhart votes no. Jones votes aye. Losey votes aye. Have you all now voted? Clerk, close the machine. The House pay attention to results of the vote. Those voting aye, 61. 34, or those voting no, 34. Absent or not voting, 5. Bill and received a constitutional majority is declared to pass the House. Are there objections to the title? The title is agreed to. The House will be in order. The House will be in order. Chair recognizes the gentleman from Harrison, Representative Winchettle.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Good evening, Mr. Speaker. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen of the House. Mr. Speaker, I ask for unanimous consent to immediately message House File 2317 to the Senate.
Their objections? Hearing none, so ordered. Chair recognizes the gentleman from Harrison, Representative Winchettle.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. That will conclude floor action for this week. I appreciate everyone's hard work. And if there's no further business to come before the House, move the House to adjourn until Monday, February 28th, 2022 at 1 p.m.
We have one bill to read in, and then we will recognize Representative Pritchard. Go ahead, Clerk. It's all you.
House File 2536 by Committee on Transportation, a bill for an act allowing vehicle transporting certain agricultural commodities and non-interstate highways to exceed maximum gross weight limits, and making penalties applicable.
First reading bill is now recommended. Member for the placed on calendar. Chair recognizes the gentleman from Floyd, Representative Pritchard.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Am I in order for a point of personal privilege?
You're in order.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm sure, like many of you, have been watching the news closely at what's been happening in Eastern Europe. And it's brought a lot of thoughts and I think some memories and emotions for me. Not that many years ago, 5 years ago, the unit that I was assigned to did a joint exercise in the summer of 2017 with NATO partners and Eastern European partners, and was able to work with countries such as Romania, Bulgaria, Germany, and Ukraine. And it was interesting to meet Ukrainian soldiers. It's always interesting to meet soldiers from other parts of the world and other armies. And see how they operate, and they had different uniforms and different weapons. But when you learn what motivates them and why they want to be a part of what we in America represent, it's about freedom, and it's about democracy. And this morning at 5 a.m. local time, a tyrant who leads Russia decided that he would invade his neighboring country. This is an act of naked aggression without justification. It's a war of choice. And in this world that we live in now, it threatens to disrupt the balance of power and peace and security that we have enjoyed. During World War II, our nation, when something similar happened in the late 30s and early 40s, was known as the Arsenal of Democracy. And it looks like we may be called to fill that role again. And so, you know, I ask that we, as we go home and we return to our loved ones and hopefully you all drive safely through this treacherous weather, we think about our position and our responsibility as Americans, as Iowans, who live in one of the greatest democracies the planet has ever known. In 1996, I went to basic training, and I know there's a handful of veterans here. And one of the drill instructors, you'll like this, Representative Holt. You know, he was old. I think he was in this maybe 25 years old. Because I was 20, 21 or 22, so anybody over 25, they were old. And he said, "This country's been at war since its inception." He says, "I've been at war." He's 25 years old. I didn't believe him. I didn't believe him. Didn't take me very long before I believed him. We are always under threat. This country, this idea of freedom and democracy is a controversial subject and concept in other parts of the world. It's very controversial to Putin. And so as we go home, I ask that you think about the struggles of a fledgling democracy that strives to be like us and do what we did here just 5 minutes ago. Agree or disagree with what we did was phenomenal in human history. We listened to each other. We recognized different differences of points of view and opinion, and we voted. And we changed law, good, bad, or otherwise. And that's what Ukraine wants to be. And that's what Russia doesn't want it to be, because it's fearful of that. And so I just ask that we remember the 100 soldiers, approximately, from Ukraine who were killed today. And we support their struggle as a democracy. And we remember our role as the arsenal of democracy. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
You've all heard the motion from the gentleman from Harrison, Representative Winchett. All those in favor shall say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say no.
No.
The ayes appear to have it. The ayes do have it. The House is adjourned.